and we are on the third line down.
Amazon was clever. Tell you about the requirement to pay a fine when you rape or seduce a girl. Same as Amos Chayav, when does the chiyuv begin? When do you become responsible for the payment? Rabbi Yonah Amar Mishor Rishonah, from the time you commit the crime. Rabbi Yosef Amar Besov, Rabbi says at the end, from the time that you are in court. In other words, there's a very basic disagreement here as to when one becomes required to pay a fine. Is it immediately upon that committing the act, or is it only when the court imposes it? Right, okay, there are going to be, of course, ramifications of this, right? Meitzer Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yosi asked Rabbi Yonah the following question. According to your line of reasoning, the Tamar Mishra Rishayna, that you say that the fine is imposed. From the moment that the crime is committed, or crime is applicable, it's applicable from then. So, Hot Nina, didn't we learn, Amda Bedin at Shalom Esav? Didn't we learn in our Mishnah that if she goes to court before her father dies, then Harein Shalov, then the father actually gets the rights to the fine, and therefore Meisav, if the father dies, Harein Shalachin, then the money goes to the brothers. So we see that it's not contingent on the crime itself, but it's contingent on going to court, right? So if it's clear going to court, so if our mission seems to indicate that it's clear going to court, that seems to be a proof for Rabbi Yossi, right? That's Rabbi Yossi's proof against Rabbi Yonah. So it says, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yonah responded. He says, Matinta, when you came to this, you come to something else. You come to Lahi, the tiny Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. This Mishnah should not be construed to mean that the fine only devolves at the time you go to court, but rather it should be construed to be going like we learned in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's Braisa. What does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai say? He expounds upon the way the pasuk is written. It says, "V'nasa lanara." It says, "V'nasan lanara." One pasuk says that you give it to the girl. The other pasuk says, "In asan lavianara, you give it to the father of the girl." So, I'm sorry. That's not the drasha. The drasha is, it could have said, "In asan lavia." It could have said, "Give to her father." Instead, it says, "In asan lavihanara, give to the father of the girl." Okay, in other words, not just to the father, but to the father of the girl. So what does he learn from this? So it's interesting the way that Ridbaz learns it. It means that actually, even though the knas devolves, the responsibility to pay devolves from the first moment of the crime, nevertheless, when it's considered to be given, to be paid, it's going to be paid only when you go to court. At that point, when you go to court, even though you have court that actually has not yet been collected yet, nevertheless, at that point, it's already considered to be part and parcel of that which is coming to the person who was in court at the time. And what he's actually saying, the Shimon bar Yochai, is that the inheritance of the knas is contingent on who the receiving of the knas. So therefore, if they went to court before the father died, then it's as if the father received the fine, even though he didn't actually physically receive the sum of money, and therefore if he dies, his children, the brothers of this girl, or the sons of this man, they receive the fine. However, if he died before they went to court, the reason why she gets to keep it and doesn't go to the brothers is not because the fine only commences, so to speak, at the time they go to court. No, the fine commences at the time of the actual crime. But because there is no delivery, and only upon delivery is the fine considered to be the father's. Delivery takes one of two forms. It either takes the form of going to court, or it takes the form of actual delivery. So therefore, without trying not to confuse the issue, so therefore, if that's the case, the way it works is as follows. According to Rabbi Yossi, the fine only becomes a real fine, only becomes an obligation at the time they go to court. And therefore, the going to court decides who actually gets the fine. If they go to court during the father's lifetime, so it goes to the father and then to his heirs. If they go to court after the father's death, then it goes to the daughter, and it never goes to the father's heirs. However, according to Rabbi Yonah, who says that the fine begins immediately upon the commission of the crime, nevertheless, what determines who's going to get the knas, who's going to get the penalty, is when the knas is delivered. And delivery takes one of two forms. It either takes the form of actual delivery, or it takes the form of the court issuing a writ that you have to pay it. And if either of those two things happens during the lifetime of the father, it goes to his kids. If neither of those things happens during the lifetime of the father, then it goes to her as a result. Okay? Says Mar Mesa Rabbi Yonu, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yonu said that the fine devolves immediately, asked Rabbi Yossi. Al Daitcha, according to you, the Tamar Sof, do you say the fine devolves only when they go to court? But Ninon, didn't we learn in our Mishnah, if they went to court before she became 12 and a half, then the father gets to keep the penalty, because they got to court before she became 12 and a half. Misha Bargav, they only got to court after she became 12 and a half. She gets to keep it herself. Now, that seems to be proof that the fine devolves from the commission of the crime. Because if the fine devolves from the time to go to court, a girl over 12 and a half doesn't get a fine anymore. There's no fine at all. The fine is only for a girl between 12 and 12 and a half. Right? So therefore, if going to court would determine it, so then if she goes to court after the time she's 12 and a half, there should be no fine at all. If there's a fine at that time, it must be because the fine devolved from the beginning. Right? Right. That's what he says. So how does Rabbi Yossi respond to that? He says, no, that's different. Matinto, you came, la'id the Tanya Rabbi Chiya, to that which Rabbi Chiya said. The Tanya Rabbi Chiya says, tachas asher ino, he pays her for having afflicted her, l'rabos shohaisa naro bagra, that comes to tell us a special drasha, that even if, as long as the affliction occurred at the time that she was a youngster, despite the fact that later she grew up, there's still the penalty coming to her. So basically, we whittled away the distinction between whether the fine devolves immediately or the fine devolves afterwards, but the bottom line is that we still have a machlokas, a dispute, and therefore the Gemara says, v'asa ilay plug v'asa k'ilay kahali plug v'asa. And this machlokas goes like another machlokas. The Tinian Taman, we learned over there. Gana Mishal Aviv, interesting case. You stole your father's sheep. Tavach, and then you slaughtered Umachar and sold the sheep. So for stealing, how many payments do you have to make?
For stealing, it's two.
Double. Right.
But the slaughter, it's five.
Right. So now, you stole and you stole and you stole.
Sheep is four.
No, cow is four.
Yeah, sheep is four.
I think so. Cow is four.
I think so, yeah, I think that's right. I think cow is four and sheep is four.
No, the opposite. The cow is, it's the opposite. Because the sheep, cow is more, because the sheep you took on your shoulder, so you were degraded by doing that.
Okay.
The sheep is one less payment. So, okay. Anyway, God and Mishal Aviv, the Tavach Umachar, you stole from your father. And then you slaughtered or sold the animal. Acharkach Mace, and then your father died. So you have to pay four or five times to the brothers, to the heirs, which include yourself theoretically, but the heirs of the deceased father. Okay, you have to pay four or five to them. Now, Mesiv, Rabbi Chagai, Rabbi Yossi. Concerning this case, Rabbi Chagai asked Rabbi Yossi. According to you, that you said it's contingent on going to court, right? That this is also to about a fine. The penalty of four or five times is a fine as well, just as much a fine as having raped or seduced a girl, right? So according to you, holds that the fine only devolves when you go to court. Nisnei Gana Mishal Aviv, let's draw the following distinction. Let's say it depends when the court date was. Let's say Gana Mishal Aviv, you stole from your father. Tava Chumarcha B'chai Aviv, and you slaughtered or sold during your father's lifetime. V'lo Yispik La'amod B'din, but you were not able to go to court. Until your father died, in other words, you didn't get caught yet. It should be ain amashalim toshlumi keifel and ain amashalim toshlumi aruchamisha, that he don't pay double, he don't pay 4 or 5, because he don't pay double 4 or 5 if there actually was a court case to the brothers, if there actually was a court case during his lifetime. There was no court case during his lifetime, right? So says, okay, so says the Gemara. Vehein Omar. So it says Omar, who said Vehein Omar? This is a response. Omar says Vehein Omar Arba B'chamisha. Where did I say that? Where did I say? I didn't say what I said by Arba B'chamisha. In other words, Rabbi Yossi says, I certainly agree with you that by Kefil and Arba B'chamisha, the Knas devolves immediately. On the spot, okay? There's no question, because the knas there has to do with the knas there has to do with the slaughtering of the animal, and therefore at the time of slaughter the animal devolves, right? Baram Hocha, however, over here, Kol Amma Modushi Shalatzma. I'm sorry, Baram Hocha, and therefore here, Kol Amma Modushi Baram Hocha, but here, by the knats of the onus of the rapist, kol amamoyde, everybody agrees she ain't shalatzma. That really should go to the girl. So therefore, the fact that it goes to the father only devolves at the time they go to court. Lo tzur chada ella lemihu nosein laatzma. It only is required for the following case: who does he give to herself, or nosein levia, does he give add to the father? So it's an interesting concept. What he's saying is there's a basic difference between the fine of 4 or 5 and the fine of rape or seduction. By the fine of 4 or 5, I pay for the animal. So the moment I did the animal in,
right,
I become required to pay. Even before a court. However, the fine of the rape or seduction really should go to the girl. She's an adult.
Right.
She's over 12, right? Really should go to, I mean, not in all cases, but in a case where she is over, really should go to her. But the Gemara, the Torah says, nevertheless, give it to her father. So that, he says, that going to the father is a later overlay on the primary halacha. That's his Rabbi Yossi. That's why I say that occurs only at the time they go to court. In other words, since that is superimposed on the situation, and we can even call it, quote unquote, not fair, so therefore it only occurs afterwards. So he says, I agree that Hamada Bedin, I agree that by Arba Chamisha, going to court is not the essential factor. The essential factor is the actual crime itself. But by the case of onus of a fata, rape and seduction, there I hold going to court is crucial, because there it's necessary to change the assumed halacha, which is that it should go to her, to a new halacha, that it should go to the father, and that's only done through court. Okay?
I understand, but it's not okay.
You understand, but it's not okay?
That's true. Why?
As long as you understand it, yes.
Why are they pushing it to go to the father instead of her? Even
the Torah says so.
Okay. Oh, it does?
Yeah, that's the Torah thing. Because there's Vinasa and Lavia now.
Oh, it's the right, it's not the
Torah. Right. Yeah, it's not the Rabbana there. They're just trying to explain how it works.
Amda
Vivastin. Now, she went to court. This is a continuation. She went to court before Achlo Bogra, before she became 12 and a half. Her angel up, so it goes to the father. That's good. Mesov, if the father dies, her angel Achim. Goes at that point, it's after the court appearance, to the brothers. Lois Biklamo Vivastin, she was not able to get to court, Achlo Bogra, until she became 12 and a half. If she marries, if she wins the case, arrange lots, well, they go to her, right? Rabbi Shimon Omer, if she was not able to collect until the father died, arrange lots, then she gets to keep it. Okay? So even if it's after court, even if they already went to court, but if there was not yet a collection, it goes to her and not to the father, not to the father's heirs. Okay, then one is going to discuss what he holds. Ma'aseh adam tziyasa. If a woman is a girl is working and she produces profits and finds stuff, abi shelo gavsa, even if she hasn't yet collected her wages, meisav, once the father dies, harein shalachin, it's considered to belong to the brothers. In other words, that stuff, as long as she's in her brother's household and they're supporting her, so therefore any handiwork she gets, it goes to them. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Tani Rishim Rechai says, "V'nosan ha'ish hashochev imo." He should give the man who lay with her should give him $50. Melamech einas ob zochel b'nesina. Since he uses the language v'nosan to give, so therefore only because the father's not when the crime is committed and not when they go to court, but only at the time of actual delivery. You need actual delivery. In actual collection, the matter is contingent. Rebbe attributed Rabbanan. Rabbanan Amer Bamin is based on Davartoli. They hold, like we explained in the previous Mishnah, that going to court is enough to make it considered as if it's delivery. You don't need actual delivery. Rabbi Shimon Avil, now after the court, now this brings to a whole slew of very interesting differences. Rabbi Shimon after the court case, Avil Kamaisa Basin, he makes it like a psak rendered by Basin, but obviously it's not considered to be collected, right? So if it's not considered to be collected, could it be considered to be like a loan?
Mm-hmm.
Can't.
No.
But like the Rabbanan, it could. That's what Gemara is about to say. Rabbanan Avil Kamilva. The question is, what is the status of this of the money between the time that the court has determined that he has to pay and the time he actually pays up? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that until it's paid up, it's not considered to be a penalty because of the special gzeras hakos, a special decree of Venasan, holds it until the time it's not considered even to be a loan. It's just something, an obligation which is resting upon him, but not even a loan which is upon him. There's no lien in the sense of a loan. Whereas Rabbanan, the moment based in Paschas he's got to pay, it becomes, technically speaking, a loan. The obligation is so complete that it becomes as if he actually owes the money from the time the basin renders the psak. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I think so. It seems like the first thing they're saying is that it's like a pekodim.
Well, it's even less than a pekodim.
Oh,
mm-hmm. It means it's a paper obligation.
Oh, okay.
It's not considered to be actual.
Oh, okay.
You'll see the ramifications. Okay, it's hypothetical. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a mitzvah to do, right? You have to pay money to buy a lulav, let's say, right? You don't owe the lulav seller the money. You're obligated to buy a lulav at some point, but you don't owe him the money. So to the same here, you're obligated to pay the money at some point to the father of the girl, but you don't actually owe him the money. That's how Rishon Meruchai looks at it. As our brother looking at it as actual debt, the moment based in renders the psak. Okay? It's really very theoretical. It's a question of the theoretical definition of the situation. Okay, so it says Amara, and the Amara is going to give ramifications. Says Amara, I'll die to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, Nigbe Beidus. When you collect the person who's supposed to pay the fine is recalcitrant, he's not paying so easy, so then you collect for him from his best property, from his best real estate. Because from a person who damages, you collect their best possible real estate. A daiter Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, however, who holds it's already become a loan, so for a lender, you only collect from the medium level real estate of the borrower. So here too, well, since they hold after you went to court, it's like a loan, so from then on, you wouldn't collect anywhere from the interest from the best grade real estate, only from the middle grade real estate. Al daiti to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, ena shi'is misham tosa. Let's say you go through a shmita year and he hasn't yet paid up. He's a deadbeat, right? He hasn't yet paid up. So the according to Rabbi Shimon, it's still not yet a debt. It's not an obligation until it's actually paid. So therefore, shmita does not cancel this debt. Shmita only cancels debts, not other types of obligations, right? Al daiti to Rabbanan, however, according to the rabbis, though, that the moment you went through court, it becomes an actual debt, so Shemitah would cancel this obligation, right? We went through Shemitah, now they're paid, Shemitah will cancel it. Al daita de Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be habchor eino noita b'shnayim. It says no till here, but should be eino no till. We're going to find changes there. A b'chor, the firstborn child gets double, right? But he only gets double in that which is already considered to be something under the jurisdiction of the deceased father when at the time of his death. Right? So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the b'chor does not get double because it's only a paper obligation. It's not actually a debt. Take out the word ain. The b'chor does get done with that. Because there's a big machlokas in the Bavli. I think it's a machlokas. The machlokas whether a debt, which is outstanding, is considered to be as if it's collected, and therefore the brother should get double in it, the oldest brother. Or we say a debt is not considered to be as if it's collected, and therefore the brother does not get double in it, because it only gets double in something which is under the father's jurisdiction at the time of his death.
Right.
So the Yushalmi holds out that the debt is considered as if it's collected. So therefore the Yerushalmi holds that, like Rabbanan, that it's considered to be already a debt, so it's as if it's already collected, so therefore you pay. So the Bechor gets double, right? Like Rabbi Yehuda, that's not considered to be collected yet, so the Bechor does not get double in it.
So okay.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it is Mishan Kodesh Rabbanan, because Kodesh Rabbanan is already Hava. According to Rabbi, it's not. According to Rabbanan, it's not Hava. Okay? Says where Rabbi Zira Sholach, Rabbi Nachman Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Imi Bar Papi. Rabbi Zira sent a message to Rabbi Nachman Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Bar Papi. My say there, Abbas, show me. Who gets the money from the handiwork of the daughter who's being sustained by her brothers? Who gets that? Amarlei, so he said, Shaikate. The diligent one said, Latzma. It goes to herself, right?
Okay.
Right. So we're going to discuss, what about our Mishnah? Says Amara, right, Mani Shaikate, who's the diligent one? Shmuel, who's a very diligent scholar. Okay? So says the Gemara, Amarai Masa B'Shem Rebbe. Masa said, name of Rebbe. They said the name of Rebbe. They said it as an expounding on the following pasuk, as a medrash on the following pasuk. He says, "V'snachaltem osam livnechem achareichem. You should bequeath your servants to your children after you, l'reshes achuzah, to be an inheritance which you take as a portion. Also livnechem, you bequeath your slaves to your children, v'no b'no seichem." But you don't bequeath your daughters to your boys. Okay, so that means that your sons don't take over the ownership, quote unquote, of your daughter after you die. And this story, but my say they are basmendaber. It's about that her handiwork, stuff she makes, gets to go to her and it doesn't go to the brothers. Rabbi Yehuda said, Masnisin Amrakein. Now this came back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us this. How so? Says Maitzei Adem Mitziyasa, the handiwork and stuff she found, Afal Pishlo Gavas, even though the hammy had been collected, which she hasn't yet collected her wages, Umeisa, but she produced them during her father's lifetime, and then her father died, Hare and Shalachin, those things go to the brother. Maitzei Shalosas Bechaye Of, it's only going on stuff she produced during her father's lifetime, because that already was under lien to her father. But if she produces after her father's death, then then everybody agrees it goes to her. So actually, I said something wrong in the Mishnah before. I said in the Mishnah before that where she's living in the brother's house, then it goes to the brothers, but that's not true. It only stuff which she produced while her father was alive, the wages of that go to the brothers because they inherited that from her father. But the stuff she produces after her father's death, since she's not bequeathed as a slave to her brothers, that goes to her and doesn't go to the brothers. Okay? Very good. Halacha Gimel. Hamaris is Pito. No, it is very easy tonight. There's no yavamas. Hamar is his bito, somebody who betroths his daughter, begirsha, and then divorces her. Well, he doesn't divorce her, but her husband divorces her, right? So, or irsav nisamala, he betroths her, nisamala, then she becomes a widow, right? Ksuvasa shalo, the ksuva of the daughter in this case goes to the father. Hisia, what if it wasn't just a betrothal, but it was also a full marriage? Begirsha, then was she divorced? Or Hisia, there was a full marriage, nisamala, then she became widowed. In that case, in that case, she gets the ksuva. Doesn't go to her father. Because according to Rabbanan, once she's married, all ties and obligations between her and her father are severed. Once she's fully married, not just betrothed, fully married. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rishonei Shalav, no, the first time around, even though she got fully married, then the whatever ksuva comes to her, either because she was divorced or became widowed, that goes to the father. Amru Rabbanan argued. Rabbanan said, Mishisiyah, once he marries her off fully, Ein Lavi Rishisba, her father loses all rights over her. What's Rabbi Yehuda's logic that it goes to the father even though he fully married her? So it says, it's actually a practical reason, it's a rabbinic reason. In order a person should give a big fat dowry to his daughter. In other words, if a person thinks he's going to really run the risk of losing this money from his family, he's not going to give it to his daughter. But if he knows that he can get it back if she dies, so then he's going to give a much bigger ksuva. Okay? That sounds like it's a drabbanan. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yitzchak said, no, it's a doraisa. Mi motzi shemer lomad, it should be Rabbi Yehuda. I didn't learn that from motzi shemer. It's an interesting parallel. Motzi shemer is a guy who says that he married a girl, and then he had a full marriage, and then he claims that she wasn't basula at the time he married her, right? It wasn't the first time around for her. Yeah. So then, if he turns out he was lying, so what actually happens? Who gets the money? He has to pay a penalty of $100. Who gets the money?
Father.
The father. So we see that the father can still get money as a result of his penalties imposed for the sake of his daughter, even though his daughter was fully married. So if he extrapolates over here and says, even though the daughter was fully married, when she gets a ksuva later on, the ksuva also should go to the father and not to her herself. Okay? Right, that's very complicated, very unfair case. Too bad. Okay, so Moshe Shemir Lomad Rabbi Yehuda. Even though it says her mayor, it should be Rabbi Yehuda. Vatai now instead of Vatai, it should be Tani. Look at Brisa. Rabbi Chia says Zintzav Odevei Savia. This is due to the unfairness which you just spoke about, spelled out. Okay, in case you had any illusions, dispel them. Zintzav Odevei Savia. If she is licentious while she's still in her father's house, Misha Bagra, and then she became over 12 and a half, and she got married to the guy. Votila Shemron, he complains about her, that she was not the first time around, she wasn't a psula. Who ain't a loke? If he turns out to have lied, he doesn't get flogged. Vena knows him as well, nor does he have to pay the pump fine if it turns out it was lying, because she's about 12 and a half, so those special parameters not apply. Ela ohi ozomamea, rather, if it turns out that she actually committed the crime of having been licentious when she was betrothed, then she goes out as in stone. Or if the aiden brought against her were liars, ozomamea, those people plotted against her, of course they plotted to get her put to death, so makdimin lebeis eskilo, they go out as stone. So the only thing which pertains, in this case, she's already over 12 and a half, is the stoning. None of the other halachas pertain anymore. They also love. Okay? Says, let's imagine this case. Hotziel Hashemra, he said bad things about her. Oda Nara, while she was still 12. Ubaga, then she became 12 and a half. What's now, and then it's proved that it's a lie. So who gets is there money in this case? Right? Because actually, they only got to court After she became 12 and a half. But the episode came when she was 12. So actually, there should be $100. Who gets $100 in this case? So our Malaysia said, Shamanu Shinos and Lavia. We heard that you give that go to her father. Why does it go to her father? Because the event happened while she was still under 12 and a half. So if, even in the court cases afterwards, it still goes to her father. It still goes to the father, not to her. Now, there's an implication here. As the Gilan Ephraim points out, the implication here is that also, by Ksuba, the same thing. If a girl, let's say, was married, betrothed, right, and then she became widowed or divorced while she was 12, but had not yet gotten a Ksuba until she was 12 and a half, so would that go to the father, would it go to her? And it seems if you hold that the fine by Moti Shemra goes to her, so Ksuba would be the same thing. If I follow the fine, Moti Shemra goes to him, so Ksuba would be the same thing. Okay? So again, the story about where she was actually married off by her father, but then she got divorced subsequently. She got divorced even when she was under 12, but the money was not paid until she was over 12 and a half. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Kumi Rabbi Zira in front of Rabbi Zira. But to me, I'm astounded. How can Rabbanan bring down the parallel between Motzi Shemra and Knas? And Ksuva, right? How can they make the parallel? The parallel they wanted to make is to say, just like Motzi Shemra, there's payment even after full marriage, so to Rabbi Yehuda said once to the father. So they want to say, by Ksuva, there's payment to the father even after full marriage. So how can you draw the comparison, asked Rabbi Yehuda? Below Damu, they're not comparable to Ksuva, because Ksuva is Mishar Rishoina. Ksuva is obligated from the first moment you issue it. Whereas the fine of Motzi Shemra only because devolves at the end when you go to court. So how can you compare the two? How can you say that the parameters are similar? One is the fine is immediate, whereas the fine is only when you get to court. So it's more Miomer L'cha. Who said, he responded, Rabbi Zira said, who told you? Maybe even by Knas, Mishar Rishoina. Who? It's from the first moment when he was Motzi Shemra. Va'asid Rabbi Mona Krabi Yirmi. Rabbi Mona wanted to say that the Knas, when the incident of Motzi Shemra occurred when she was still in Nara, still in the 12, and then she became 12 and a half, that the Knas goes to, should go to her, is going like Rabbi Yirmiyah, who also said that if the ksuva that the knas is at the end, right, only because the devolves at the time when you go to court, and therefore it should go to her because they only went to court after she was a bogeris, after she came to him now. Rabbi Yosef says you give to the father in such an incident, it's like Rabbi Zira who says that the knas devolves immediately at the time of Motzi Shemra, and therefore it immediately becomes a subordinate to the father. Now, interesting thing, the Gilan Ephraim points out, is that Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zira have the exact opposite positions here vis-a-vis knas that of Motzi Shemra that they have vis-a-vis knas of onus umefate. The one who holds by the knas of a rapist that it devolves immediately holds by Motzi Shemra that it devolves only when they go to court.
No.
Okay, that the knas imposed on the husband for having lied about his wife's status only is imposed when they go to court, and vice versa. That the one who holds by the fine of Motzi Shemra that's imposed immediately when he commits the crime of speaking illly about her holds that by the case of onus umefate by rape and seduction, the fine only devolves by the time they get to court, not earlier. So each one switches their opinion. We can give reasons for it. It's not impossible to give the reasons. We can think of reasons why they would switch their opinion. But they do switch their opinion. What one holds by onus umefate, the other holds by Motzi Shemra, and vice versa. When one holds by one of them, it starts immediately, and by the other one, it starts when you go to court, and the other one holds the exact opposite. Which is very interesting. My focus, obviously, it's a very basic difference between the fine of onus umefate and the fine of, which we're discussing here, which is the fine which you get from Motzi Shemra. Okay, we're cooking with gas. Halacha Daled.
Right.
Another 5 minutes.
Good.
Did you daven yet?
Yeah. Oh. How was it true, man?
Oh, that's right. All right. Hagioish Nisgaru.
Okay.
A girl who converted. Now, this is a very interesting case, not just because of your situation, but it's an interesting situation. Hagioish Nisgaru, a woman who converted. Bito Emah and her daughter with her. It's Mamish your case, right? They converted with daughter with her. Zinta, hopefully the rest of the case doesn't apply to your situation. And the girl, after she was betrothed, went out and was mizana. She went out and was licentious. So if it was a Jewish girl, a JFB, right, then she would get stoned. Because she's betrothed and not yet married. But since she's a Gioras, a Reza B'chenek, she gets off the hook easy. She only gets suffocated to death, right? Vela Pesel Pesav, and it says that you stone the girl, the girl was licentious when she was betrothed, you stone her at the opening for her father's house. She doesn't have a father because she's a convert, right? So even her father's alive and kicking. It's not halachically her father, right? And if it turns out that her husband lied, she doesn't get the $100. Because Lemaisa, that was only stated, as we shall see, by a Jew girl who's JFB. Okay? What if she was conceived before her mother converted? But her mother converted before she was born. So actually, her mother converted when she was pregnant.
So
the kid was JFB. So she can't get stoned to death. See, she gets the right to get stoned, right? To have the more severe penalty. And, however, she's not stoned to open the father's house because technically she has no father. Because even though she was converted by the time she was born, the time she was conceived, the father was a guy. And therefore she doesn't get $100 if he lied about her. The Gemara's going to explain as well. She was conceived. Her father and mother might have been given, but by the time she was conceived, she was conceived by them as they were converts. She's like a Jewish girl for all areas. She gets stoned, of course. She's got a father. I'm sorry, period. She's like a Jew in all matters, okay? Now, this is the next case in Mishnah. What if she has a father? But her father has a house to which has an opening. It says in turn, you stone her at the opening of her father's house, right? She's got an opening to her father's house, but in-law, but she doesn't have a father. Harez is Meskila. Don't bother me with the details. We stone her anyway. It's a mitzvah to stone her at the opening of her father's house. So if she doesn't have a father or a father's house, stone her anyway, right? Says more. Stephen says, Ki hotzi shem ra abesulas Yisrael. It says the reason why the person has to pay is because he said spread malicious rumors about a Jewish girl, right? A Jewish besula. Yotzuzush enemy soul, as opposed to this girl who's not a JFB, right? She wasn't born Jewish. Kiyotzi shem ra besula. However, it could have just said Kiyotzi shem ra al Yisrael. He said bad things about a Jewish girl, right? Why say besula as Yisrael? So it comes to include. The rabbi says a go gioritz comes to include a convert, but only a convert shreitzel rosa shlo b'kedusha, a convert who, while conceived before mother or father converted, leidos b'kedusha, by the time she was born, her mother had already gone to the mikvah. Okay, tehei b'skul that she got stoned as well. For Abel Sol Knas, who says more, well, once you're including that she got stoned, this girl whose mother converted when she was pregnant, so as long as you're going to stone her, so at least if the guy turns out to be a liar, let him pay the $100 to her as well. Says more, Leis Yochel, you can't do that. Why? Because Vitani Chizkiah, because of what Chizkiah taught us. What Chizkiah taught us? Tani Chizkiah came, taught us Chizkiah taught like this, Mimashish Nehra B'Saklua, it says stone the girl. Don't I know that she's going to die? So matam lom remesa. Says stone her and she will die. Chochem. I don't know if she's going to die. What else are we stoning her for? Right? It's the massage. So any yodim she mesa matam lom remesa. Eliyesh la cheres. Rather, comes to tell us that there's another girl who's stoned. She beskila. Vuhu bepater. But it's only vis-a-vis her. But the husband is exempt. In other words, the mesa means she dies, but the husband doesn't have to pay. Okay? Basis, what's a case like that? It must be this case. A girl who was conceived before there was conversion. By the time she was born, everybody was converted. And we learn out, she gets the death penalty of the skila being stoned, but her husband does not have to pay the $100 if it turns out that he lied. Okay, it says, ksiv, ki yikach ish isha, if a man takes a woman, uvalen has relations with her, the son, he hates her guts, and then he starts saying malicious things about her. So from this we already learn, la'olam ein achayev, he cannot institute proceedings and be believed and generate an obligation, achi yichdos, until they have a chuppah, v'yivalen has relations with her. V'yidan times besulim, and he claims this claim that she was not first time around. The son loudly is for him. Now it says he lays a plot against her. Could it be that he says, hey, I don't want to be married to her because she burnt my dish yesterday, which she was making for me for supper? Is that also a legitimate grounds? No. Here it says that he laid a plot against her. Later on it says also a plot. Just like later on it's talking about a plot for znus, for licentious relations. So to here it's talking about licentious plots. So later on when you talk about the plots, it's talking about plots which have to do with her not being the first time around in a place where they normally have relations. Afkan, so to here we should say the same thing. How do we know if he had relations with her in some alternate manner that he could just dive in by herself ahead? Okay? Go and come back right there. Whenever you get back, we're leaving, so hurry up. That's what the pasuk says, that he says bad things about her, no matter what. So it's interesting, halacha, that even though theoretically you'd expect that he can only say bad things about her if he actually had relations in the normal way, and checked if she was a psula, and turned out she wasn't a psula, she wasn't a virgin, because he could feel that there was missing the psulim. But that's not the case. That's what it says, Votila Shem Ra, Mikomakom, no matter what he says, even if he says, I didn't have relations with her the normal way, I don't know if she's a psula or not from my own experience, but I have witnesses that she was Mizana. I have witnesses that she was licentious. That's enough. Yeah, he doesn't have to actually check it out physically to see if she's a psula or not, as long as he has witnesses which can claim, which, you know, he has private detectives, which say that she was actually, you know, fornicating. Okay? Now, when he comes to court, he has to say, this woman I took, and I came close to her. Now, this is probably, he has to have had relations with her at least once, but he can have relations to one of the other orifices, called Birj Lokadarka. And then already he can say that, well, I have witnesses that she was licentious. Now, it has to be that he took her for the purpose of relations, meaning he married her. Probably yudin, except for, but excludes a woman who underwent the process of yud. You know what the process of yud is? The process of yud is that a guy buys a girl, young Jewish girl, as a slave, an amo ivriya.
Yeah.
And then either he has to marry, it's mitzvah either for him to marry her or his son to marry her. But when his son marries her, so then the son doesn't actually give her any money at the time that he marries her, just has relations with her. Because we say the first money given to the girl's father to purchase her as slave becomes the money of her marriage. Okay, very unromantic. Okay? She was sold to slavery with the option for wifehood, right?
Marriage is always very romantic.
Yes. So she was sold for slave, that's true. She was sold for slave with the option of wifehood. So that's not considered to be enough of a marriage for him to come and say, oh, she wasn't a psula.
It's really, these are really contractual obligations protecting the woman.
Right, that's correct. So therefore, in this case, he doesn't have the right to come and claim, oh, she wasn't a psula. Prat l'shem and l'klokachti, it has to be that he contracted the relationship with her, as a pros, tapachov avanav, prat l'shem as opposed to a case where it was a yibum relationship, because he never fully married her. Lakachti, I acquired her. Prat larusa, as opposed, not a girl who's just betrothed, has to be fully married. Lakachti, prat liyudim, Now going back, that was the end of Braisa. Now we go back to analyze it. Lokachti prat liyudim. It says I took her to, as opposed to having bought her as a slave and then changed her to wife. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, "Afilu command Amar." Even according to opinion holds, Mishor Rishoy Nagitin Hakesef. From the first time that the owner pays to the father to buy her as a slave, that money is given liyudim to designate her as a wife. Nevertheless, it's still considered to be not direct enough to fall into the criteria which is necessary in order to allow him to say Lakachti, I took her, and start saying Shame Ra, start saying all sorts of claims about her. I don't know exactly why. I guess it has to be that, in part of its credibility, has to be that he married her directly, and now he says that she has an absulim. So that's a very bold thing to say. So we need a true marriage in order to give it any credibility to what he's saying, and allow him to make this claim. Well, I'm not sure if that's the reason. I don't know what the reason is, but that's along those lines. Says Gemara, Lakachti, proud of Shemes Yavam, to preclude a woman who was evil relationship. Now, Lo Sof Dover is not just commission of Shoina, like the first way of learning, which we had in Yavamos, Shemitzas Yibum Kodamas Shemitzas Chalitza, which allows you to do Yibum as a preference to doing Chalitza, right? And then he would say that Yibum is not considered to be my choice, but it's just, you know, it's the mitzvah which is imposed upon me by the Torah. El afilu commission Rishon, but even according to our current conduct, the current way of thinking, shemitzas chalitza kodemus the mitzvah yibum, that it's better to do chalitza than yibum. Therefore, I might say, if I do yibum on her, it's an act of willful taking on my part, because everyone knows I should have preferred chalitza. Nevertheless, not going to be true taking, because true taking is when I give her a ring and a regular marriage ceremony. Okay? Lokachti prapla rusa. It has to be full taking to preclude a girl who's only betrothed, not married. Vayakrav Eileh. Oh, actually, Vayakrav Eileh is a new thing. Let's stop here, okay? Because Vayakrav Eileh is already a new thing. We did two blocks.